Greetings to everyone in Jesus' name this morning. Good to be here. You might wonder why I'm here for. It's my sister Lydia died, and we're going to that funeral down in Indiana. They live close to Goshen, Indiana. So we thought we can't miss this opportunity to stop being with Jason the first time, and we were glad to be here. I would have been glad to sit down this morning, but I'm also glad to preach. So let's, we want to stay in the Word. There's nothing like God's Word. I want to show you a few things that should inspire us this morning about God's Word. Because when them people were walking down to Emmaus, when Jesus came and they were talking, they had heartburn. Do we have heartburn this morning? That did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us? When he opened just the scripture, that's what this world needs. This is the scripture. It's the Bible. This is where the power is. It's not us. It's the word of God. Just remember that brother that talked about Jesus being in the ship. He knows, brethren and sisters, that our hearts have to be broken if he's supposed to fine-tune them, the heart, and get it right for him. Our old heart is no good. Before we're converted, what I mean, young people are saved, they can go to heaven. But remember, the reason a person's heart is broke is so that Jesus Christ can put it together the way it belongs and fine-tune it, get it ready for heaven. That's what we want him to do this morning. If you don't feel you're fine-tuned and you don't feel his hand on you, why, you know, we want to make sure that we have new life in Christ and have a good relationship with Christ. You know what? How close do you want to get to Christ? Anyone, how close do you want to get to him? Or, you know, we can think about other people that need Christ, but how close do we want to get to Christ? We like to get close to each other, and that's good. You can't do that without Christ. But how close do I and you really prefer to be with Christ? Since he knows everything we're doing anyhow, why wouldn't we just share everything with Christ? I mean everything. Before we do it. The greatest blessing is if you have prayed for something and finally this is what you have and you knew it's from the Lord, you're so much gladder you have it than if you just got it and everything's happening going wrong. Just remember, every little thing, it's not wrong to pray for. Before you buy something, ask the Lord. Just play and dance, go on your knees and ask the Lord. This is how you can have a close relationship. I'm talking about a close relationship, not just something that simmers along or is just about warm or is lukewarm. I almost left their first love. I'm talking about a relationship. And when you have a close, tight relationship with Christ, you will have that with each other. Yes, that's why. That's normally the first thing I ask people, how is your relationship with the Lord? Oh, well, I don't really know. I don't feel the best about it and all that. What? How many enemies does he have in church? A lot. A lot of bad attitudes and a lot of things and things going on that shouldn't be going on. Remember, I'm talking about new life in Christ this morning. When this life is over, which my sister Lydia, she's 76, she died. This cancer, just quick, she passed off the scene before they could do anything hardly to her. That's the way I would like to go, but however the Lord takes us, we want to go. When my dad, when I held his hand, I was there to take care of my dad. They wanted to put him in the rest home and just flunk him away and not pay no attention. I said, you're not doing that to my dad. So I just moved in from Missouri. We sold everything we had. We just moved in there to dad. I said, what are you doing? I'm moving in to dad. And what did we do with dad? We were there every day with him, me and my wife and two of the girls. We're still at home and we sang to dad. We had Bible reading with dad. We took dad over and watched the Amish section where they do old-fashioned things that dad always did and liked. And this is what we did about every day. He said once in a while, he said, would you go up to the Hardee's there and get me some sticks? And he meant French fries. And we did. Once in a while we did that for dad. That's not wrong. No, And when he died, I held his hand. I said, Dad, I'll go with you as far as I can, but the Lord would take care of the rest. But then some people said, oh, that wasn't saved, this and that. And I said, did you ever come and read the Bible to Dad or pray for him? No. Well, I said, then you shouldn't judge this man. We read the Bible. I love Dad, and I don't care. The relationship sometimes was pretty rough, but, you know, I love Dad, and Dad loved me, and we asked each other anything we should make right. No, no, no. Dad said, everything's made. And I said, well, I'm sorry, this and that. And he did the same. I held his hand when he died. That's just how that was. That's wonderful. And I want you to remember to respect the old people. Don't make them feel like they're a misfit when they get old. They're not. If you really are a good Christian, have new life in Christ, you're going to treat these old people like angels. That's the next step for them. So remember, when you get to older people, be very respectful. I know my parents, when they were old, they didn't like a lot of noise. So I told the children, shh, simmer down. Let's go to Daddy and talk to him and be quiet. And they wondered, how do you get your children to sit so quiet? Well, that's what we expected from them. We didn't expect them to run all over the house and have look like a junkyard in that house. We expected them to respect our dad and mom. That's what they did. Now, we want to talk about new life in Christ. But before you can have new life, you must have Christ. Christ must be in you if you have any hope of glory. Any hope. And when Christ is in you, then the old man is dead. We're talking about death this morning. This is going to be a death blow to the old man. And I want to show you how that happens. This brother read it this morning that led songs or was up and talked about he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. I said, my, he took that right out of my ticker, right out of my mouth. I was wanting to talk about that a little bit, about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now, when you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and how much time do you have for the devil when that's done? When you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, how much time do you have for yourself and pride and another life? When you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, is there anything left over for you or for the world or for the devil? Self-life must be gone. There's a lot left for you if you give it over to Christ. Christ will work in you miracles. But we must remember it's Christ. It's not me, it's not the bishop, it's not the preacher, it's not the deacon. But they're all supposed to have their place. But I'm telling you, Peter was in the ship and he was going to be a leader. And all them people in the ship, and Jesus just made sure that this is the only way they can do it is bring them to him. And that's how Jesus does. But let's get to him without having all the pressure put on, all the winds come in, everything going wrong, then go to Jesus. That's what the man said. That's not the best thing to do. The best thing to do is when you feel that the Lord is calling you, then you open that heart and let him in. Open the heart and just let Jesus in. Do you know what Jesus done for you? We say salvation is free. Why don't everybody have it? It's free to them that accept it. That's fairly free. No, it's free to everyone. Salvation is free. But did you ever really realize what Jesus Christ did for you? I mean, really down to the nitty-gritties. Did you ever remember, just before we have communion, do you realize the first thing we think of when we're taking that cup, we think of Jesus' blood? Jesus' blood? How do you think Jesus looked in that blood? Jesus Christ was hammered down to the bones, and he was bleeding all over. He was. He was chewed down to the bones. It just pieces hanging there. I can imagine his 49 stripes, his bones hanging on there, five in a street and coming around here, over the back, over the side, and over his, and then the thorns on his head. And can you imagine the blood that came out of there? Can you imagine that sight? Can you imagine that this Jesus Christ that was hanging there and died and
had suffered and didn't do one thing wrong, and then after it was all done there, the blood was just about all out, and nobody could touch that man without being blood on them, because that's how bloody it was. And can you imagine that case? Can you just imagine that? Well, this is the Jesus that we're talking about, that you want to serve. And this is the Jesus that he expects you to come to him is everything. Don't you miss that. Miss everything you do before you do it, before you're married. You want to ask Jesus who is supposed to be the one that we get married to. And then make sure that you wait long enough. You don't have to worry that things will happen. God is in control. So, brethren, when you love God, and this Jesus that I'm talking about is this blood, then after he was on there and had these thorns on there, and they hammered on that dead, and the blood was coming out of his head yet, and everything was tore, and this is Jesus hanging on the cross, you'd think he'd have all the right to come down there and condemn them all. He said, Father, forgive them. That's the one that we want to love. There's much to love there. There's much to love when you love him. And he can do much with you if you love him. Yes. If you really love him. And who knows but Jesus how you love him. I can think you might love Jesus. But who but him knows that? He knows it. And you know he knows it. When you're blessed, you know that you and Jesus' relationship is perfect. You can know that. But remember, this Jesus has done this willingly. He came down out of the heavens, down to the earth, down to this level, down under our level, and made us feel like kings and priests yet. He come down to serve us. That's Jesus. I tell you one thing. If we keep in mind how Jesus did it, that the Word of God is strong, is powerful, and it goes into every area of somebody's life, and that's where we need to make this scripture alive. We need to make it alive for people. We can't just grumble at all. This is something that needs to be made alive, and it's going to be alive, brethren and sisters, if you have him in there. And you might say, well, hey, how can I do it that I don't get lukewarm, and I don't quite feel like doing this? Listen, if you're lukewarm, you know what the Bible says? Right where you lost that, you go back and you repent and you make it right and you take care of it and you'll be strong again. But don't try to wipe it off. Don't try to wipe it off and it'll be all right sometime. My conscience won't, it don't bother me. That's not true. That is not true. I'm old enough to know that. But that is not true. You won't wipe stuff off. So it was said to them, the ones that left their first love, they did a lot of good things. They did. But one thing was wrong. Their relationship with Jesus Christ was not right. And it looked like they're doing wonders, not? Outside, they probably were. But I'm telling you one thing. It's what happens inside first. Then when it comes outside, it's right, okay? But you might look right on the outside, but that doesn't mean your inside is right. That's where we sometimes judge wrong. But you can tell by people that have Christ in them, they have the fruit of the Spirit, they're easy gauged, when they do something wrong, they'll make it right. And they don't want nothing wrong, they want righteousness. Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. He's hungering and he's thirsting. Did you ever sit to the table and you had a terrible appetite, you were hungry, and that smelled so good and it tastes so good and it was so good and it done you real good? That's just how it's going to be with the Bible. When you start hungering and start thirsting, it's good. You sit there and there it comes to you. It comes out, it flies at you, and you can't hardly stop. You want it. I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's how you get to heaven. You don't get to heaven on a rocking chair that moves, but you never get nowhere. That's never how we get there. The devil tries to make us, as long as we're moving, as long as we're getting something done, we're fine. No, that's not true. As long as we're serving Christ Jesus, we will get something done, and we will get somewhere. Let's just remember that. It's God's holy word. Let's never turn it to us. People, we get kind of selfish sometimes. Think, yes, we can do the job so good. No, we can't. I can't do nothing. The only way I can do it is if this morning I ask Jesus, just help me to speak. I don't know much. I don't know what these people need, but I'm responsible now since I'm to preach. I want to feed these people with something from the Word of God, something that touches the bottom of the heart. Brothers and sisters, and I want to do that. Remember in Colossians 3, we can go to Colossians 3 in just a couple of verses there. You don't have to page there. It's 3 verse 1 to 4. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For your death and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So remember, if ye then be risen with Christ, then you're a seeker. You're seeking. You're seeking for things above. Do you ever watch for seekers? Do you ever see people that are seeking and they're not really finding satisfaction? They're seeking. They go here. They go there. They go everywhere else. Let's not let that happen. When somebody is seeking, let's bring them to rest. There is something here. If we have time to sit down with people and to make them relax and make them feel that they are somebody. Let's, when you sit with somebody, make yourself feel like a child. Make them feel like a king. Then you're going to get somewhere with them. Because it just doesn't work no other way. That's how Jesus did to me when he saved my soul. He was just like a little person. He made me, oh. So, brethren and sisters, that's how we treat each other. Right? It's not that we always feel good about treating each other good. Listen, it's right to do that, and we do it. We don't go by feelings. If I would go by feelings, all the pieces would fly. But if I go by the Spirit of God, which tells me, then the pieces are gone. The pieces are put together. The puzzle looks wonderful. Look at that nice new puzzle. All the pieces are in there. Who put them in? I didn't. It's God. The Bible will do that. The Bible will place them pieces in right where people need them, right where the need is, if the Word of God is preached. That's what does it. Every time, give Christ the honor. Don't take any to yourself because you don't have nothing. There's nothing left if we would have to do it. Think about it. New life in Christ. These people that had heartburn. How do you get heartburn sometimes? You get awful hungry. You eat something that makes you heartburn, right? Oh, that burns. Well, you know, everybody knows when that happens that it's heartburn. All right. Then you eat something that was not good for you. That heartburn made your heartburn. Now, when you heartburn in spiritual life, it burns a lot harder than that. If you're seeking for truths and you eat truths, your heart has to burn. It is going to burn. And you need to let it burn till it stops burning. And you need to do everything in your part to stop that burning. But you can't stop it till Christ is finished with that burning. You might say, now it's going hard enough for me. Yes, it is. But have you woke up Jesus yet? Did the storm stop? No, you didn't wake him up yet. He's still sleeping. In your experience, he is. All right? Do you want to wake him up? Who wants to get and wake Jesus up? Don't worry. You don't have to pat him the second time. He'll be right there. He's waiting on you. But just remember, oftentimes, we're so involved in ourselves that ourselves, me, myself, and I, the rest doesn't matter too much. Remember, there must be a death before there's a resurrection. Do you know that? There must be a death before there's a resurrection. You have to fully die before you're resurrected for Christ. You have to fully die before you're a Christian. Everything that you have must die. You have to be willing when Jesus Christ comes. If your attitude isn't that my material things, everything I have is Christ, and you're willing to let go and not even try to get it when he comes. He said, don't do that. When you're on the housetop, don't come down and get nothing. It's not yours. Let her lay. You're ready for heaven. If we have things that are getting us away and we'd like to quick go for them yet, no. So that's why we better pay attention that we only have what Christ wants us to have. If you have what the devil wants you to have, you want to take it along. I've seen a lot of people that took their motorcycle down in the coffin, and one lady said he wants to take his banking account, and then his wife wrote a check and laid it on there, but he never got the money out of the bank, and she had the money. So, as much as we might try, we can't do it. No, as much as we might try, we can't. Brethren, that's why sometimes we work so hard to make things happen the way we would like for them to happen. But how hard do we work to understand Christ and want to make it happen the way he wants to make it happen? I'm interested in that. I'm interested in the old time gospel. When it says something, it means it. When it means something, you do it. When you do something, it'll come out right at the end. I'm old fashioned enough to believe that the Bible is true. I just am. If you preach the Bible, I tell you what, hearts, this morning in your heart, you can feel something, can't you? Yes, you can. You can feel Jesus. You can feel what he's going to do to you. And you know already what he's going to do to you if you have something wrong in your life. You know already what he's going to do to you because he did it before. Just remember, brethren, the gospel does that. I don't do it. No. It's not me. I want to tell you then a little bit on just how Paul operated for the church. Oh, it is such a blessing in Philippians. Let's go to Philippians 2 and see what the Apostle Paul thought of his members in the church there. Philippians 1, I guess it is. Philippians 1. I want to take you down through these few things here and show you what for relationship this man had with his people. And how what the people must have thought about this leader. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And this man had to be converted. He had a conversion experience. And remember that man that was had them demons in, and Jesus cast him out. He came to Jesus and worshipped him, and Jesus cast them demons out and went into the swines. Can you imagine that picture? Can you imagine that picture? All them 2,000 swines, whoop, there they go in the water. You can't get a swine past the edge. No, they flew through there. And this man that was redeemed, this had demons in him, he was healed. He was sitting at Jesus' feet. He was in his right mind. And what did he want to do? He wanted to go with Jesus. What did Jesus tell him? He said, No. You go and tell your friends what great thing I have done for you and what mercy I had on you. You know why he told him to do that? They would have never accepted Jesus because all them swines were dead, and them people over there in that city, he hated Jesus like poison. And this man goes and broadcasts that's converted, and you know, till Jesus came the next time, it says one place that they couldn't hardly wait till Jesus comes. But this one man did. Now you see a person that's right there, he was had all these devils, and Jesus cast him out. He was sitting at Jesus' feet. He had something right. He was dressed right. He was right at the right place beside Jesus. And he was in his right mind, thinking right about Jesus. And Jesus said, you go. And he did. Brethren, we think a person that's just converted has to be have to have at least 10 years before he's fit to go out and say something about Jesus. Jesus said, you go tell people what great things I've done for you. That's what brought him. Oh, how many times I failed. But that's how Jesus did it. When he was converted, you go. I believe the man wanted to be with Jesus so bad. Don't we too? Oh, we love so bad to be with Jesus. But he said, there's work to do. Do it for me. That's just like I miss you. I'll be with you. I'll help you. Philippians 1. I want you to just go with me and feel this. When I went and read this one time, I felt it. I want you to feel it. Just feel what I'm going to tell you here. This is the word of God. Paul and Timotheus, servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishop and deacon. They're together there. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he goes on. In verse 3, look what he does to these people, and where he takes them. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Brethren, every time I remember you, I thank God. How many leaders do that today? Every time I think about this sister, every time I think about this brother, all the brethren, I thank God for you. I don't condemn you. I don't think a lot of bad things about you, but I thank God for you. This is what Paul did. I'm sure he could have found some fault, but that's not how he goes at it. All that fault will come out. But he said, I thank my God every time I remember you people. My, what a relationship that would be. If we could all together say we remembered each other. And every time I think Jason, every time I think of the others, and oh, God, thank you. Thank you, God. Tell you what, a lot of good things will come out of that. Your attitudes will change towards people. And you know, in verse 4 here, it says, always in every prayer of mine, for you making request with joy. Every time I pray for you, and I do it all the time, I make request to God, and I tell him it's joy I do it. And that tells me that he had confidence in that. And people are going to be Christians, good Christians. They're going to be saints. Did just Christian get to heaven? You'd say, well, yeah. There's a lot of people say they're Christians, right? Do they all get to heaven? No, they don't. But those people that are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ and are saints, they get to heaven. It's not a certain Mennonite church. I work with the Amish a lot. My counseling is with the Amish and working with them. And I tell you what, it is so wonderful. You might be surprised. There's a lot of born-again people there that understand that thing more than some other people do. I'm telling you. You could start churches there, but I don't do that. I just want them to let the Lord develop what he needs to develop. I'm just there to show them Jesus. And when we go to them people, we pray for them, and we ask God to help them, and that's about all we're doing. We're talking about Jesus a little bit, and as we can get it in, sometimes we had some in our house with about 40 or 50 Amish one time, had done counseling, and I told them now, in our book it talks about, we want to talk about the new birth next meeting. And then a few said, no, we can't do that. We always shunt that kind of thing. We always shunt. I said, nah, I want you to shun something else too. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. That's just for sure. I want you to shun something, and I want you to shun that what you just told me. That you shun this about the new birth. I talked to bishops. I have Amish calling me before they preach the word, and they said, Aaron, how do I do this? I'm born again. These people don't understand it. I tell you, it's just you live a good life and show them the new birth. And just have the fruit of the Spirit and preach the word. Whatever happens to you, let it happen. Just be Jesus, be Christ-like. Let it happen. Christ will make it happen. Oh, there are so many things happening, brethren. Things are growing. I tell you what. Brethren and sisters, don't think there's no hope in some of these old-fashioned churches and they're just plain and they're just traditional. Tell you what, Christ is doing something. He can do something with them people that he can't do with a lot of people. They have a foundation of tradition, which is good, but that's not good enough. But if they accept Christ once with that foundation, they have something. They do. I see it. I see it all the time. But trying to get rid of the foundation so we can build another foundation is really not the thing. And I tell them that just remember one thing, because you're a plain Amish doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And I said, Amish, you won't hear nothing like that in heaven. Won't say, well, here comes another group of Amish. Hey, they were good. They're coming. Here comes these Eastern and Pilgrim and these men. Hey, there comes another. No. They're saints. This is a universal church over the whole world. It's not our church. It's Christ building his church. Man, we condemn a lot of people that are going to heaven. That's wrong. It's wrong to condemn people that are going to heaven. How do we know they're going to hell? Some might say, well, they don't quite dress like I do. If Jesus Christ would come into a plain Mennonite church and look like he did, how many people would chase him out of there? They would. Now, just think of that. Would you too? Would I? I try not to. Tell you, if I would, I'd have to repent. And that's how a lot of other people have to do. I'm telling you, brethren. It's all about Jesus. We sing that song. It's all about Jesus. Now, do you think the prodigal son felt good? I want to go down through here yet a few verses. In verse, it says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now
being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it. It's Jesus. It unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. Every one of you, I'm thinking this of you all. That you are born again and you can, if it's Christ's help, you can do it. You can get through. And it says, because I have you, oh, listen to that. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. What? Just think of that. You have each other in your hearts. Now, what are you doing with them when they're there? You're wishing they wouldn't be there, or you're wishing, oh, they'd go away once and we'd have a little better stuff coming in here? No! Paul could have did all that. I'm sure they had struggles. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Look at Paul. He said, you have my grace. I have grace for you. I have grace for every single one of you. Brethren and sisters, I don't know you, but I have grace for you. God has grace for you. You're not beyond reach for God. God can do miracles. God can do miracles. If you think your heart is just kind of aching for something better and something new, just remember, if it's something better, it must be Christ. Nothing else is better. Nothing else is better. You can't find a better church. I know that. You cannot just go to the church and think it's better. You'll soon have the same thing hacking in there. Oftentimes, it's right here. Not always, but sometimes. And people don't get together in church. I just don't know. Ha ha. And they gave everything over to Christ. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure how that all works, but it's not going to be the best. Let's go on here in verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you. Oh, brother. This is what's happening. It's a congregation. They're talking together, and the leader says, how greatly I long after you. I'm here in prison. You're not with me. I'm longing after you. I want to be with you. I love you, sheep. I just want to show you my love. Oh, you can just feel his heartbeat, can you? You can just feel his heart beating. And it says, verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to Christ. Hey, he wants excellency, because when you are a Christian, you be an excellent Christian. Try that. It works. You be an excellent Christian. When you want to feel bad about somebody, give them a gift and love them. If you have a bad attitude, just go and do something good for that person or pray for them. Get on your knees. And that really heals fast. That heals. You don't have to go run to your bishop or minister and tell him all about it and never told nobody else. That's not how Christ works. If you really care about a soul, before you go to that person, you be really, really careful. Because that person has a soul, and you have a soul, which is the best one. Well, if I think mine's the best one, then I'm going to give him Harry, right? But if I think his is the best, I'm a meek person, I'm humble, and I'm crying, I go over there, have a few thoughts to say, and he might have more to say about me. And that's how you win the brother. You don't win the brother by telling everybody else and make it hard. Jesus, oh, if it's something that Jesus hates, it's when people sow discord. When you get one against another person. Oh, that's hellbound stuff. I'm talking about people that can live for Christ. If you love Christ, you love each other. It goes together. It always did. You cannot love Christ any better than you can love your wife. You'll never love Christ better than you love each other. Just think, how are you loving Christ this morning? It reveals to yourself how you love him. Nobody has to tell you. You know better than anybody else. So, can you see the relationship that Paul had with his dear little church? This is what we want. I'm sure your ministry wants every bit of that. Now, do we have new life in Christ? Are we free? Salvation is free. Oh, it's, you say it's free. If salvation is so free, why is it so hard to get it into people? One place here it says about, is it in Philippians 2? Philippians 2, 12. I want to read you how salvation is free. Therefore, my beloved brethren, in Philippians 2, verse 1, verse 12, I think, or is it 2, verse 12? Yeah. 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, does that give us work to do in our salvation? It's free, yeah. The thing is, it starts free. But when you accept the plan of salvation, you are going to have to work things out. You know what I had to work out when I got salvation? What do you think it was? Guess once. Anybody? When I got salvation, what's the first thing I had to do? Deny self. And that means a lot. When you deny self, when I got salvation, the first thing I did is I remembered what I did wrong, that I shouldn't have done. 1, 2, 3, 4 things that come to my mind. You're going to have to take care of that. You're a Christian now. Christians don't do that. So I had to call those people. I called them. One place, we had stolen a watermelon. Young people, you know, oh, this watermelon's good. You know, you just grab it and go and eat it. Oh, no. When you're converted and that comes into your mind, you're redeemed. You're made free. Okay. How are you made free? You're made free if you make freedom. Yes, you are free then. But when I was free, I felt inside my heart, I felt so good about what happened. But I remembered, I have to take care of a few things if I really want to be free. You'll never have freedom in Christ without making those things free. So if there's anybody here this morning, it's not that hard. I went to the person and talked to him. He said, my wife died, but, oh, Aaron, I'm sure she would forgive you. So glad. I'll forgive you for her. Oh, no, isn't that wonderful? And then he'll forgive you. Oh, he said, that's nothing. I said, if you would have known how I felt, you wouldn't say that's nothing. That was between heaven or hell for me. No, okay. If you want to go to hell, just let stuff go like that. If you want to go to heaven, make it right. That's just how it is. Is salvation free? It is free. The initial experience is absolutely free. You can't work it up. You can't make it happen. But you and your parents together have been very influential in bringing it to pass. Because if parents are Christ-like, then their children can see Jesus. If they're acting like the devil, then they see the devil, right? We show people how Jesus looks, the way we act. We show people how the devil acts when we act like the world. We just show people that. People can see it. They're not blind. So I took care of that. And do you think I was surprised what happened? No. I wasn't surprised. I felt good. And then there was something else. It took about 4 years till the Lord had just cleaned house there. I was free. I felt free. But once in a while something came and I took care of it. I took care of this, I took care of that, 4 different things, and then I forgot it. What do you think the devil wants to do now to me? He wants to bring them things back to me and remind me how dumb I acted. And now I'm a Christian. I don't want to hear that, do I? No, I don't have to hear it. I'll just tell him about the blood of Jesus is made the difference. Just tell the devil that. He can't handle that. The devil can't handle nothing with the blood of Jesus. The devil himself doesn't have no power. If Christ only a power he has is what God lets him have. We think our life is hard. Don't think that the second time. Just think if your heart is broken, God will put them pieces together the way he wants them and fine-tune them for him, and you're good to go. But go for him. Don't go for yourself. Let that selfish nature go. Don't do things for yourself, whatever you have. So I'm going to my sister's funeral, pray for us. And she was a good Christian. My wife was reading the Bible where it says, blessed in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. And she was reading that, and we found out right the time that my sister was dying. So that gives us courage. She lived that life. She was a kind person, and yeah, I have no doubts that she's in heaven, and she's
praising the Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wonderful. Brother, we should look forward to that. Don't spend a lot of money to stay out of heaven. I'm telling you, brother. It's not wrong to spend money to be well, but if you know you won't get well, just let the Lord take care of it. Roman Baller went to church where we did up there, and he goes pilgrim up there now, which is fine, and he was healed. He had cancer, back of his tongue had a big lump, and he came to my place and said, Aaron, the doctor said, I won't make it. He said, if you get healed, it must be the Lord. So he's not part of the church, but the pilgrim laid their hands on him and prayed for him and went to the doctor. There is nothing to be seen. Okay. You like that? You sure we like that? It doesn't always happen that way. But the ones that move on, they're seeing something that we can't see. Ah, something blessed. Brother, you want to go to heaven, and sisters, you all want to go there. I know if I'd asked you, all want to go to heaven. Every single one. Nobody wants to go to hell. What is hell for? It's for the devil and his angels, and God knows how hard hell hurts. God knows what for fires in hell. He puts it there. He knows right how people act that are going to hell once you're there. And he knows right how people act that are going to hell that are living here. And I'm no a good Christian that is reading the Bible can know if they are going to heaven or hell. You can have assurance. But you have to base that assurance on God's eternal word, on what Jesus Christ did, not on self, nothing. If you want to lose your salvation, just base it on what the good things you have done, then you lost it. It's not that you're not good doing good things, but them good things, you won't see them if you look at Christ. They say, when did we do these things? Well, you did it to other people. That's what you were doing. When are we doing these things? Why, when you're doing it to other people, you're doing it to me. May we pray. Our gracious God, I hope that you had your own way. We want you to have it. We pray that everyone present today could hear your word and feel your moving and feel your voice, your loving, kind voice in their heart speaking, saying, come to me. Lord, bless everyone present. We are not perfect. We would like to be, God. But our perfection comes from you. Our holiness comes from you. Our way of living and when we love you comes from you. And help us to show the fruits of that Holy Spirit so that people might assuredly know and that we're not just talking and making noise. Bless us. Keep us in your care. Pray for the young boys and girls. Pray for the families here. Help them to always remember they can't love each other better than they love you. Remind them of that, God. We know that we need that reminder. Sometimes we think, oh, these people are not. Why, Lord, we know how you loved your enemies and you never once, you always blessed and you didn't curse. But the time will come that the cursed will go to their cursed place, the blessed will go to their blessed place. And we want to go and hear them words, come in, ah, blessed of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.